again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I join you in this program to show to you for a few moments what mercifulness is and how God expects us to be merciful. Now, we're studying and looking at the Beatitudes, and this is one of the attitudes that you and I should have in order to obtain the mercy of the Lord our God. To him, it's an equation. We show mercifulness, he gives us mercy. Without showing mercy, we will not receive mercy, according to the word of God. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Let me read again these Beatitudes, or the attitudes that we should be having on exhibition because we're Christians. Let me share it with you this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I want to take you especially to one subject that I think we have missed out on as a church. Doesn't matter which church, what denomination. If you go to James again, who is very practical, you will discover that James says in chapter 1 and verse 27 that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. The Hebrew word for poor signifies one that is empty or one that is drawn dry, dried out. So the poor are exhausted of their strength, their beauty, and their substance. They're like ponds that are dried up. If you go into the desert round here, especially into Harney Desert and places like that, you will discover lots of ponds and lakes that are just plain dried up. If you go to the Ulva Desert, not many miles from here where I'm speaking today, you can actually walk across the Ulva Desert, which was not long ago a lake. People go there and they have sail machines. I've forgotten what they're called, but they're a machine that works with a sail and it has wheels, and they tear across the dunes and tear across the sand, and they go very fast. Well, I walked across the Ulva Desert one day. I walked its width and found that I had walked over 9 miles. Boy, I was hot. It was a hot day. What a difference that was. I looked down and someone said, "That used to be a lake," and I laughed. How could it possibly have been a lake? I was thirsty, but I didn't want to eat sand. Well, people become like that. Unfortunately, their experience takes them there. Therefore, let them be filled again with the silver streams of charity and love. We don't like the word charity, I know that, especially here in America. We don't like to receive charity, but there's nothing wrong with charity. When we are in need, we need charity, we need the help. When we have a bill that is bigger than we can pay, we need help. When we are being thrown out of our apartment for whatever reason, we need help. When there's not enough food to go around, help is very necessary in our household. You see, the poor are just dried up. And so I would say to you, let these streams fill us up. Let charity, let love, the love of God that is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell, that reaches from the highest star into the deepest hell. What does that mean to you? It should mean that anybody in a desperate state needs to understand that you will help them because you love Jesus. Jesus, we need to understand, was such a person. He gave comfort to those who were in great need. If you go to the book of Psalms, you find in Psalm 104 and verse 10 that God sendeth springs into the valleys. Let the springs of our liberality run among the valleys of poverty. Your sweetest and most benign influence should fall upon the lower ground. What is all your seeming devotion without bounty and mercifulness? It's important to understand how it is that the Lord Jesus worked amongst the people. Let's go for a moment into Matthew 2 and verse 11, and we read that the wise men not only bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, but presented him with gold and myrrh and frankincense. And I've often wondered, was it that gold that took the impoverished parents and this little child into Egypt? Was it the gold that set them up in some sort of business? Did they sell the myrrh and the frankincense? And did that help pay for food? I've often wondered about that. God has a marvelous way of giving us what we need. You see, the pretenses of zeal are always insufficient. It doesn't matter who we are. We must not only worship Christ, but bestow something upon his members. This is to present Christ with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Isaac would not bless Jacob by the voice, but he feels and handles him, and supposing him to be Esau's hands, he blessed him. God will not bless men by their voice, their loud prayers, their devout discourses, but he will feel Esau's hands. And if he does, their hands will have wrought good works, then he blesses them. Let me exhort you, therefore, to deeds of mercy. Let your fingers drop with the myrrh of liberality. Sow your golden seed. In this sense, it is lawful to put out your money to the use of other people when you lay it out for good uses. Give those things to the poor which you cannot keep, that you may receive those things which you cannot lose. There are many occasions of exercising your mercifulness. The poor goes to a place where he cannot survive. Do you ever listen to the cry of an orphan? Pity the widow's tears. Do you ever do that? Some there are who want employment. It would do well to set their wheels a-going. Others who are past employment, as their eyes turn blind and their feet become lame. In some cases, whole families are sinking if some merciful hand does not reach out to restore them and to lift them up. And before I press the arguments of liberality, I would quickly say that I see at least three objections. We may give, and so in time come ourselves to want. Now, so we hang on to what we've got. The liberal soul shall be made fat, Proverbs 11:25 says. Don't worry about yourself. Worry about the person whose hand is reaching out to you. There are some dear friends in Christmas Valley that I have known. They have given work to people who didn't deserve to work. They have kept people on working through a winter, finding odd jobs. They have kept them going because they were in great need. And it was a great deal of mercy that they expressed as they gave these people jobs to do. What a privilege it is to do that sort of thing. Luther speaks of a monastery in Austria which was very rich, while it gave annually to the poor. But when it left off giving, the monastery began to decay. There is nothing lost by doing our duty. We need to do things for people. Flowers yield their honey to the bee, yet do not hurt their own fruit. When the candle of prosperity shines upon us, we may light our neighbor that is in the dark and have nevertheless light for ourselves. Whatever is dispersed to pious uses, God brings in some way or another wonderful things to us who do that sort of thing. As the loaves in breaking multiplied by the Galilean Sea, or as the widow's oil increased as it was poured out. We read that in 1 Kings 17 and verse 16. So we can never run out so long as we give. Open the palm of your wallet. Open your hand. Let it not be closed. Give to those that are in need, and there are people in great need. We might say to ourselves we can't do as much as others. Yet we erect churches, we build hospitals, we augment libraries, we maintain schools and universities. So let us do something for those that are in great need. Let there be much goodwill, though there be not much wealth to go with it. The widow's two mites cast into the treasury were accepted. If you read the first four verses of Luke 21, Jesus said, she hath given more than all these rich people, because she gave all that she had. All that she had. And I ask you right now, is that you? Do you give tenth of your money to the church and you tithe? Well, good. Now, what about the offerings? Can you empty your purse? Can you give all that you have? Can you say, look, in the name of Jesus, this is all I have? Why, Peter stood in front of a crippled man and he said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And the man got up and he walked. We don't see miracles like that today. Why? Do we have a lesser God? I tell you, no. We have a mighty God, but we have an attitude that we've got to have insurance for this. We've got to have the assurance of that. We've got to protect ourselves and feed our own families first. I've heard all these arguments over the years. God looked not at the smallness of the gift of this woman, but at the largeness of her heart. In the law, he that could not bring a lamb for an offering, if he brought but two turtle doves, it was okay with God. We read that the people brought gold and silver and goat's hair to the building of the tabernacle. You read it for yourself in Exodus 35 and verses 22 through 24, on which place we are told that the Lord's desire was to bring something to the building of his temple. If not gold, to make the mercy seat. If not silk, to make the curtains. Yet a little goat's hair, that I may not be found in the number of those that have brought nothing to thy temple, Lord. What a terrific thing. We have opportunities. Here's a third thing that I would mention to you. People say, but I do not have anything to bestow upon the necessities of life. Have you anything to bestow on your lusts, such as television? Have you anything to bestow upon watching another film? Have you anything to buy more chocolates? And so on. Have you money to feed your pride? Can you find nothing to relieve the poor members of Christ? Look upon that man that stands at the corner of the street and begs. Look at that woman in their rags and their tatters, their unshavenness and disheveledness. Have you nothing to give them? Have you nothing to give to the man who has come back from war with his legs missing, with his eyes gone? with his hearing smashed. Oh, have you no pity? Have you no mercifulness? Why, we read these precious words that come from Isaiah 40 and verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. If you can give them no gold, you may speak a word in season, which may be as apples of gold in pictures of silver. We can do more than that. You may be helpful to the poor in stirring up other people who have money to relieve them, as it is with the wind. If a man be hungry, the wind will not fill him. My mother had an expression she used to say when we would say to her, what do we have for dinner? She would say, air pie and windy pudding. Air pie and windy pudding. My brother and I would be filled with a mystery. What did she mean? Was it edible? Would it fill us up? Would it satisfy our hunger as boys? And we would laugh and giggle. And she would often say that to us. It's no point in saying that to a person, because it can blow the sails of the mill. But if there's no corn for the mill to grind, then there's no flour to make the bread. So though you do not have an estate yourself to help a person that is in want, you can stir up those who can help. Now the works of mercy work out something like this. We have to be diffusively good, and that is the great end of our creation. Ephesians 2:10 says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now some people are going to say I've turned liberal. No, I have not. I am explaining and I'm trying to expose you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when we are created in Christ Jesus, we are created unto good works. So many people say, well, this isn't a good works gospel. And I answer this way, without good works, you will never show the faith that you have supposedly in your heart. The star shines, the bird sings, the plant bears. The end of life is service. He that does not answer his end in respect of usefulness cannot enjoy his end in respect of happiness. Many have been long in the world, but have not lived. They have done no good, a useless weight on the earth. A useless person serves for nothing but to cumber the ground. That's a funny expression, but if you look in Hebrews 6 and 8, it'll explain it to you, because this person is a barren piece of fig, and he shall be fruitful in curses. What a dreadful saying. Then I would say to you, by mercifulness we resemble God, who is the God of mercy. He is said to delight in mercy. Micah tells us that in the 7th chapter and the 18th verse. His tender mercies are over all his works, says the psalmist in 145 and verse 9. He requires good for evil, like the clouds which receive wretched snow and storms and all that sort of thing from us, but return them to us again in sweet showers. There is not a creature living but tastes of the mercies of God. Every bird sings his own kind of hymn to praise God for his bounty, but men and angels in the more popular manner taste the cream of the quintessence of God's mercies. What temporary mercies have you received? Every time you draw breath, you suck in mercy. Every bit of bread you eat, the hand of mercy carves it to you. You never drink but in the golden cup of mercy. What spiritual mercies has God enriched some of you with? Pardoning, adopting, saving mercy. The picture of God's mercy can never be drawn to the full. You cannot take the breadth of his mercy, for it is infinite, nor the height of it, for it reacheth above the clouds, nor the length of it, for it is from everlasting to everlasting, according to Psalm 103 and verse 17. The works of mercy are the glory of the Godhead. Moses says this, Lord, show me thy glory. In Exodus 33 and 18, and God says, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. In the 19th verse, God accounts himself most glorious in the shining robes of his mercy. Now, by works of mercy, we resemble the God of mercy, and we are to draw our lines according to this copy. Be ye merciful, for your Father also is merciful. You can read that in Luke and chapter 6 and verse 6. Here is another thing I would share. Generosity to the point of sacrifice is very much like God. He gave his only begotten Son, tremendous sacrifice. To do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. If you read Hebrews 13 and verse 16, you can read that there. When you are distributing to the poor, it is as if you were praying or as if you were worshipping God. There are two sorts of sacrifices. There's the one that the sacrifice of Christ's blood, and then there's the sacrifice of generosity. This is more acceptable to God than any other sacrifice. The angel said to Cornelius, thy alms or thy generosity are come up for a memorial before God. You can read that in Acts 10 and verse 4. The backs of the poor are the altar on which this sacrifice is offered. It's ever so necessary for you and I to understand these things. We ourselves live upon the generosity of God, other creatures continually contributing to our necessities. The sun does not have its light for itself, but for us. It enriches us with its golden beams. The earth brings us a fruitful crop, and to show how joyful a mother is, she brings the show of joyfulness into the family. And they also sing. And the psalmist says, the valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. You can read that in Psalm 65 and verse 13. One creature gives us wool. Another gives us oil. Another gives us silk. We are very, very blessed to have God's creation around us. Shall every creature be for the good of man, and man only be for himself? That's absurd. It's irrational. And another thought. We are to extend our generosity by virtue of a membership. That thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Isaiah says in 58 and verse 7, the poor are the same clay. The eye conveys the light to the body. The heart conveys the blood, the head, the spirits. That is a dead member in the body which does not communicate to the rest. Thus, the body gets in a terrible state. You and I need to understand we're here to share God's glory and to show God's glory. So here's a way to do it, says Jesus. Take upon yourself the ability to show forth his praise with your generosity, your kindness, and your love. Let these things happen to you. As Jesus tasted death for every man, remember, the word tasted means experience death for every man. Then you understand this with me. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Suffering and need are met by those who love the Lord Jesus. You say you love him, O saint of the Lord. I beg you with all your love that you've received from the Lord Jesus, you give him praise and honor and glory. Show his mercifulness. Reason? When you show mercy, you obtain mercy. The mercy of God is ours by His design and His delight. We obtain mercy. So blessed, spiritually prosperous is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the people who will show mercy. I beg you, understand this word and take it to your heart now. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, please show us how we can show the mercy of God in our lives and in our walk and in our talk and with each other. Help us, please. Keep us, please. Bless us, please. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you and thank you for listening to this little series. God bless you. Bye-bye.